Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Someone sneaky? You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
Shut up!
What is up, everybody? We are live. If you're listening live, you're probably not, because most people don't. But wherever you are, we are here. This is the Greg DeMarco Show. And, of course, my name is Greg DeMarco, at GregDeMarco411 on the Twitter. Of course, go visit thechairshot.com, the all-new website where you can find my stuff, but really a whole lot of other people's stuff because I'm too busy doing stuff on the back end of the website. And, of course, I fancy myself as the King Solomon of the internet wrestling community because I'm just – that damn smart, but I'm not smart enough to do this show alone. Oh no, could not do that at all. I gotta have somebody with me, and there's only one somebody it could be, and that is my best friend in the whole entire world, the wrestling realist himself, the Paul Heyman to my Brock Lesnar. That's right, Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd.
I was like, I will repeat what I just said into the muted microphone. I hate that one.
I know you do, and I knew you would. It's applicable. It fits the theme.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Patrick O'Dowd, and I hate Paul Heyman.
It's because you don't hate him.
That's true. Hate's a strong word. Hate's a strong word. I am just not as enamored with Paul Heyman as it would appear that many, many, many other people are.
It's true. It's when it comes to
Paul, you ain't on the list, bro.
He's not on the list.
That's funny. That is true.
Chris Jericho had the list of Jericho, but years before that, Robbie E would refuse.
You ain't on the list, bro.
You know, and so I know that Chris Jericho has credited Jimmy Jacobs with making the list, but maybe, just maybe, he actually ripped that off from TNA.
You just made the list!
Yeah, I guess suggesting that they ripped off something from TNA would put me on the list, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, seeing as TNA no longer exists, it's Impact, right? Right? Isn't that what it is?
And just today, if you're listening on Tuesday, they actually announced their new board of directors, which is three random dudes. Really random dudes, but it's basically people who are already working there. It's just Scott DeMore and Don Callis and Ed Nordholm, which means a couple people will be showing the door here at the beginning of the year. So lots of. That's okay.
How many times can Impact be shown the door before the door finally is no longer there for them to be shown to?
It's never going to happen. It's just not.
I know, right? It's going to be here
forever.
It never dies. WCW died, but Impact can't die.
Everyone's going to think. It's outlived WCW in terms of its own number of years.
Right?
But everyone thinks that you know, Impact Wrestling, TNA, whatever, GFW is going to die, and it just keeps on living. It just looks at you right.
Because that's how I roll.
Even when Dixie was gone, it still was not going to
die. There's just a sucker born. But go ahead.
You know, all these people that get released from TNA, all these announcements, and we never got an announcement about Tyrus. What the hell happened to Tyrus? Like we need to know.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mom? gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
Already off the rails, Patrick O'Dowd. It took
not very long.
We are 5.5 minutes into the show, not even, and 1.5 minutes of that was the opening, and we've already gone off the rails. Completely,
well, you know,
like we tried.
Nice try, though.
I mean, it's what makes the hour so fun. Like, if we just follow the rundown.
Rundown.
we didn't even do it with... You're really into that soundbite tonight, huh? That's the one?
Yeah, but go ahead. Talk about the rundown.
Yeah, I mean, there is no rundown, but, you know, there's points. There's an idea. There's a dream.
We know what we're going to talk about. We know what we intend to talk about, but sometimes you just have to look plans in the face.
We just don't know where you're going to take the conversation, Greg. Like, we just don't know.
That's the charm of Greg DeMarco. I mean, really.
It's something.
Like, that's... No, it's the charm of Greg DeMarco. Don't dismiss it.
You keep telling yourself that. Yep.
And I love you, Greg.
Sometimes I log into the studio and just play the sound bites to myself.
I can see you doing that. You sad,
actually don't do
sad
that.
Little man.
It doesn't let you. If you're not hosting a live show, it actually doesn't let you play the sound bites. So it's not possible.
So what you're saying is that you create fake live shows that then you just sit and listen to sound bites the whole time?
And then
just
I delete them right afterwards? Yeah.
Right?
I'm sad. Sad.
Aw, Puddin.
It's okay. I'll be fine. No, we do have topics to discuss today. We should probably, at some point, you know, consider discussing them before the 3-minute warning kicks in later in the show. Because we do have 3 major points we want to talk about, and we're going to get to them today, and they're going to be a lot of fun. And I want to kick things off. You know what? I'll change the order, the intended order. Let's go with the story everybody wants to talk about. I know. But we're going to change the order and go with the one that everyone wants to talk about. And that is, of course... A rebirth, if you will, Patrick O'Dowd. A sleeping giant, so to speak, has been not awoken, just woken. And
woken.
That is, of course, Matt Hardy. And thanks to an ass whooping by Bray Wyatt, we now have woken Matt Hardy in the WWE. And the world is just crazy excited, Patrick O'Dowd. And I got to be honest with you. I thought that the Broken Brilliance would never show its face in WWE because I didn't think it would work. And yet, after seeing it on Raw, I'm kind of excited about it.
And, you know, I think here's what I worry about. I think this is what everybody else worries about. Yes, it's exciting until creative gets their hands on it. If they let Matt Hardy just do what he does and let Bray be a part of that, and let the two of them work together and just go, fine. It's the day that Vince watches it and is like, I don't get it. That I get
right.
A little nervous. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be like, this is stupid. Why are all these people yelling delete? Like that was the thing that, you know, really stood out to me is that, you know, that was a Jumbotron segment. Like,
yeah.
just a back and forth Jumbotron segment. And people screaming delete as
exactly,
a phase one.
Because it's over.
Well,
they're in Los Angeles, which is a mixture of hardcore and casual fans, and it was over like crazy.
Well, and what's hilarious is that, you know, for all this, like, somebody was clearly watching Impact, and you know, once upon a time, because everybody knew. Like, and I know that gimmick carried over into other indies and stuff, but, like, come on. I'm with you.
Tremendous amounts of hits on the YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Plus all over Matt Hardy's Twitter, and he never really stopped. I mean, he just kept doing it on social media.
Yeah. I think this was a good opening salvo. I like how they introduced it. You know, with the beating at the hands
right.
of Bray Wyatt being what, you know, woke Matt. I love that the announce team doesn't understand it at all.
Nor should they.
No, I feel like they should have Booker T being the one trying to call everything that Matt Hardy does.
He's too busy railing against Jason Jordan at every possible turn. So
He should rail against Shane. Screw that guy. We're going to talk about that later. But, like, right now we're talking about Brian.
We sure are.
But, no, it's I'm ready to see where it goes. I hope they let it go somewhere. It makes perfect sense. Larry Zonka from 411mania.com wrote kind of a winners and losers thing. And one of the things that I remember over the broken Matt Hardy gimmick and, you know, the lawsuit between the Hardys and Impact Wrestling and Anthem. But one of the points that Larry brought up that I fully agree with is, what else are you going to do with a 40-something-year-old Matt Hardy without Jeff? And this is
because he hasn't done shit otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been a jobber. He's been out there.
Yeah, the WWE's never had, you know, seen much in Matt throughout the time.
They put the ECW championship on him. Come on, that was very important.
You know what? Greg, I carried the ECW championship for a while. All right? Like, I won it.
You did, actually.
From Mick Foley in a subway bathroom in New York. Like, I held it. Probably.
Which is funny,
because
I don't think Mick Foley held it, but that's okay. That's all right.
That's true.
I'm sure there's a story behind
it. Well, everybody won it. Crash Holly.
You're welcome!
Rest his soul.
You're confused with the hardcore championship, but that's okay.
No. I'm just making up names that of, like, people, like, everybody's held that belt. Like, nobody cares. CM Punk held that belt. Nobody cares.
Poor CM Punk. I don't even have the CM Punk sound bites anymore. Like, I just...
Yeah, whatever. Tell Phil to go home.
That's not
don't
cool.
Do that.
Oh, that's
don't,
cool.
Don't be that guy. Don't
oh,
be
I'm going to be that
you,
guy.
You know.
With that
no.
with that particular wrestler,
no.
with that particular
no.
wrestler, you know I'm going to be
not
that
allowed.
Guy. I'm
you cannot go government on anybody. You know this. That's one of our rules. We don't do that.
Anybody got time for that?
There's certain people.
Fill. No, you
certain
can't go
people,
fill.
Man. Certain people.
Can't go
hey,
fill.
Never forgiven him.
To forgive him, but you can't go fill. Like it's just that's too.
You don't get to tell me how to be me. You don't get to tell me how to be me.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I haven't used that in like a year. Really
and now we have really gone. And I'm sorry, I took this show in the wrong direction. Like this is
you
my fault.
This
was supposed to be Woken Matt Hardy's moment. This was supposed to be.
Right?
The only thing that I don't like. I like, but I don't like. I wish Bray Wyatt meant something in the WWE. But that's the only thing that. You know, this is a perfect feud for the two of them,
right?
Or whatever it is
really
that they do. I just wish that Bray Wyatt meant more. I really do.
It's funny because when you watch the promo, and Bray saying he feels alive again, I kind of feel like there's some truth to that, to be honest.
I hope so.
Because Matt Hardy invented this broken thing and the broken brilliance and whatever the fuck they want to argue over. We know Matt Hardy came up with this. Like, there's just no way anybody in Impact Wrestling was smart enough or crazy enough or both to come up with this shit. And I think there's a lot of people in the locker room who really can appreciate what Matt Hardy did and what he came up with. And so I bet there's a lot of people in the locker room that right now would love to work with Matt Hardy, because you figure if you're working with Woken Matt Hardy, you're probably going to get some creative freedom. You're probably going to get to do some things that are fun, and I think it'll re-energize some people. And they could do that for Bray Wyatt. It's really the perfect feud because they're going to be they're so similar. And I want to go back to what you said, if Vince McMahon doesn't get it. Well, if Vince McMahon gets Bray Wyatt, Vince McMahon's going to get Matt Hardy.
Sort of.
And so, because they're both crazy as shit, and that's the way it's supposed to be. A good thing, but it's going to be very interesting. Like you said, we got to see where it goes because everyone's super excited right now. And there have been plenty of times where everyone's super excited and they just go and fuck the whole thing up. And
yes,
and
they
that's
do.
What we're... If that happens, then we got to have to listen to everybody bitch and complain, and you and I can be sitting here like, why are you surprised that they fucked this up? But I'm not going to go there yet because we need to, we need to let it go. We need to let it marinate.
We need people to be prepared for both ends of the spectrum. That's really what I'm getting at. Like, you need to not be surprised anymore. Like, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, like, you should be ready for the worst.
Of course. Of course, and we'll help you still enjoy the product. That's what we do here. We are here to help you enjoy wrestling more. I left that off the beginning, so let's just remind people of that fact of why we are here. I want to go backwards a little bit, though, because obviously the Hardys made the surprise return at WrestleMania, you know, literally the night after they dropped the tag team titles to the Young Bucks at the Ring of Honor show, and people, you know, no one thought they were going to show up. We thought it was you know, people wanted it to happen with them working Ring of Honor the day before. Like, you just didn't figure it was going to happen. Hell, the talent in the ladder match didn't even know until earlier that day. So, obviously, it was something that they came together pretty quickly. Did you think we would see Broken, Woken, whatever, Matt Hardy in the WWE?
Yes, I really did. And because at this point, like, you really can't put it past the WWE to bring anything in. Like, you know, they tend to find a way. They tend to find a way to come out. I think they would have done some variation of it at some point, even if the lawsuit and all that stuff. I mean, Woken isn't broken. Like, Matt wins on both counts because he gets to play the character and keep the Broken moniker as his own.
Right.
And the WWE's got their own thing. Like, now we have this whole deal. But you still have to leave. You still have all that fun stuff. So, I thought, and from the second that Matt showed up and started doing the hand gestures, and it really didn't become that big a deal, I figured it was going to show up. I think that most people thought it would go the way that it did, where it would be Matt and Jeff is a nostalgic tag team for a little bit until Matt and Jeff go their separate ways. It just happened not the way that I think anybody expected. You know, well, I mean, people weren't surprised that Jeff got injured, but...
I think we could have expected Jeff to get injured.
We could expect Jeff to get injured, but that's not the way it would have been. It's not the way we would have expected it to have been written.
Exactly. Of course, they wouldn't write it like that. It's funny because I'll go back, and you know, I'm not afraid to admit things. I didn't think we'd ever see it. I really didn't.
Nope.
Like, I just, because it was an outside of WWE invention, I didn't think that it would happen. I didn't think they would go with it. I didn't think they would do it. I thought we'd get the typical Matt Hardy teases, you know, the big smile, the delete, all that stuff would stick around just because, and it was never really acknowledged when he was doing it, and that's all fine and well.
Yeah.
I didn't think we would see it. Sure as hell didn't think we would see it, you know, less than 9 months after the debut. Like, I definitely didn't think we would see it then. I figured it would have gone longer before we actually saw the gimmick come to fruition, if it did. And I still didn't think, you know, I'm not trying to go back and rewrite history. I never thought that this would surface in the WWE. I honestly thought that they would have a run, they would go through it. Matt would probably then hit the indies and Ring of Honor and everything, bring back the gimmick, and then, you know, probably go away and retire.
Yeah.
Who knows, or go work in NXT or something like that. But here we are. It's December, and Matt Hardy has been woken, and it's I'm excited. I'm more excited about it than I thought I was going to be as well, and I'm excited to see what they do with it. It brings an interesting point, though, because we've established the fact that this was a non-WWE idea that was then brought into the company and kind of accepted with open arms and slight little changes. I've also said we would never see things like Bullet Club in WWE.
I knew you were going to go there.
Really? Because I didn't know I was going to go there until about a minute ago.
Like, you started talking about things that weren't their ideas. I was like, he's gonna drop the Bullet Club. He's going to say it. He's going
to
say it.
And that's what I knew I was going to as well. But I think it's a valid question. So Broken was successful. It sold. It was really the most successful thing TNA did in the last 2 years of its existence. And here it is in a different form in WWE. And obviously we've had plenty of teases with the club and Balor Club and everything else. So does this open the door and for something like Bullet Club to make its way in to the WWE at some point?
Yes. I don't know that it will, but yes. And the WWE people are full fucking aware of the Bullet Club. Like, there's no denying it. Like, there's so many. I mean, for God's sakes, everybody's doing that damn Too Sweet, and we ain't thinking about the NWO anymore. Like, so I don't care. You know, you keep doing it at enough house shows or at the end of pay per view matches, and you're making it a thing that people know about.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, it's not getting acknowledged by the announce team, but they're doing enough and not really. Well, I mean, I guess Finn Balor's not over, but you know,
I guess he is. Oh,
sorry, but they're doing enough.
Damn!
To throw it out there to be like, hey, we know what you all want to see. Maybe someday. I think they're teasing it. I don't think they'll give it to them, but I think that they could. I don't think they'd have a problem doing it.
At some point, we're at least going to see a club of some kind.
Yep.
Whether it's Balor Club, whether it's some other kind of club that they come up with. And honestly, until today, until we got into talking about Broken and Woken and everything, I don't think that Bullet Club will make its way in there unless they purchase the rights to it. Because it's owned by New Japan, and it's licensed out to a billion fucking people. So,
You can get Bullet Club shirts at Hot Topic. So,
you can get Bullet Club shirts fucking everywhere. Like,
which, by the way, if I
probably,
see one more, go ahead.
I was just saying, if I see one more
Instagram pic of a young buck buying a fucking Bullet Club shirt, like, I swear to God, stop it, guys. We get it. Your shirts are everywhere. We get it. We don't care.
What's really funny is that, that you have Instagram, because no one would think about that. But it literally is everywhere. But I think it's also the most ripped off thing right now, too. Everybody's got their Bullet Club knockoff everything. But it's huge.
It's cool. It's
marketable. It's cool. It's hip. It's everything. It sells. And you just can't argue with that. We can like it, dislike it. I don't love it as much as a lot of people do. But it fucking sells. And you cannot argue against the fact that it sells. Whether or not you like it doesn't make a difference. But it's kind of brings everything full circle like this. Woken to me does open the door to make something like that a little bit more possible. But, you know, we don't just like to speak in generalities here. We do like to go into absolutes on this program, Patrick O'Dowd. So let's put a number to it. We love to do the odds. So, Patrick O'Dowd, what are the odds, percentage odds that a club of some form, and let's quantify it just a little bit, or qualify it just a little bit, I should say, a club that is fairly obviously related or somehow modeled after the Bullet Club, or excuse me, Bullet Club, don't rip my head off, IWC, I know I said the Bullet Club, I'm sorry. A club that is somehow modeled after Bullet Club shows up in WWE. What is the percentage chance this happens? We'll say it's currently December of 2017, we'll just make it easy, by Survivor Series of next year, that a club of some kind is formed in the WWE.
By Survivor Series of next year makes it actually drop my odds a little bit. I had it, like, if you had just laid it out there as, will this ever happen? Which you pretty much said would happen.
Really,
I would have been up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like in perpetuity. So I get that. I would put it at over 50%, but not too far over 50%, more like a 60% tops. Just because there's so much you can do with Balor that doesn't require the Bullet Club. And if the stories regarding the value of the demon character and wanting to run with that are what it is, not that you can't have, you know, a demon Balor with whatever you're going to say in terms of a club, it's kind of something that the WWE has made uniquely owned to him in his run with the WWE that I don't think they want to connect with a group. So I think that as long as that is still a running thing, I think that really does reduce the odds a little bit.
What's funny is that you brought up and you made a great point about Balor Club and Finn Balor and the Demon. I think it's more likely that a group like this is headed up by AJ Styles than Finn Balor in the long run.
I agree.
You know, AJ right now isn't needed. But if I altered the question just a little bit and moved the time frame from Survivor Series 2018 – to WrestleMania 35, which is essentially April 2019. So we're talking about now you've got a full year and a half for this to take place. And remember, we got Woken, you know, not even eight months after Matt Hardy debuted, or pretty much exactly 8 months after Matt Hardy returned to WWE. So if we go the full year and a half, the full 18 months to WrestleMania 35, what does that do for your percentage?
Also, considering that AJ Styles could be the one leading it, which I don't know why I went straight to Balor and didn't even consider AJ.
I think it's a natural
thing to do. Sure. I bumped that up about 20 to 25%. I'll put it up at around 85.
Okay.
Because I do think that it starts to make more sense. You know, I think that what's interesting is really we just don't know the future in terms of what's going to happen with the other players that can make this possible. Like, again, Jeff Hardy getting hurt played a huge role in why we're seeing Woken Matt Hardy right now. Absolutely.
I think
about
so,
it.
Yeah.
So.
And not only that, but when Jeff
thing.
Hardy returns, I think he's going to be Woken as well. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, his wife already put a picture out on social media of Jeff Hardy's broken outfits. So, and,
nice.
You, and if you look closely
at
the video,
one.
It's not hard to see. Matt Hardy's already wearing the garb in that video. So,
oh, yeah, he
you
is.
Know, it's definitely back there with that. And
I just hope they go full gay spooky with this whole thing and, like, beam them into the arena in some way or, you know.
I don't know,
like,
if we'll see that.
I want them to just magically show up in Mexico like they did.
They did reopen the Vanguard One Twitter account. So,
I
could see that flying into the arena at some point and making a lot of people very happy. It's funny. I was going to go lower than that. You know, you're 85%,
really?
Even with the – I was going to go 75, so not a lot lower. Because who the hell knows? And that's really – that's my 25% is the who the hell knows factor. I do think we're going to see it, and that's why it's still a relatively high number. But, you know, I like to look – first of all, I'm gonna pause that for a second. Last week on this show, I made probably two or three bold predictions. And as we kind of head into 2018, as we have the brand new website over at thechairshot.com, I think it's time to start tracking these bold predictions, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, no.
Like, I think it's time to start tracking them. So I need to go back.
You're
the
only one who makes
them. Last week's show. Well, I know. You can make them, too. And I would give you credit for
that
if you did.
That's not really the Wrestling Realist style. Like, that's actually
right.
What makes us a complimentary show is that you're the guy who's like – throwing shots out there. It's why the pay-per-view thing was always so interesting, because I'd be the one who would hit more often, but you would always hit the big one. You're the one who'd
exactly.
You know, bet on like red 18 and like hit
that's
it.
Right.
Whereas I'd be
the one who went all in on Jinder Mahal early.
Yeah, I'm splitting aces and being like, okay, let's be safe here.
You know, and if you put percentages to it, I'm going to be pretty damn accurate because I called AJ, just not the right show. I'm still calling Nakamura in the Rumble, like it's all still out there for me, and it's all still possible for me to look right. Because I don't when we pick them, I ain't picking Jinder to regain that title at Clash of Champions. I'm picking AJ Styles to retain that belt. And you know, there are very few bigger fans of Jinder Mahal than I. But I've got a bold prediction, Patrick O'Dowd, and because we no longer really have guests, and we will occasionally have guests, but we're going to repurpose something, Patrick O'Dowd, because it is time. For a
it's time!
So, I believe, and a lot of people believe, that Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins will be adversaries come WrestleMania 34. And they'll probably face each other in a match. And I think the bar will still be on top of the world in terms of the tag team scene. And the tag team division on Raw is not what it used to be, and it's definitely not what it is over on SmackDown. So, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going to make a bold prediction that the bar will be challenged for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania 34 by the team of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy.
Ooh.
Because if you watch them
That's
going back and forth in the promos, it's not hard for them to kind of start to like each other at some point.
Absolutely.
And once the feud runs its course, because – there's only so much you can do with a feud like this between the two of them. I actually think they could team longer than they feud.
True. You just got to get one of them to convert.
I don't think you do. I think that because they're kind of the same. They're close enough. One's just more interstellar, whereas the other one's kind of like, you know, following buzzards. And one's more on planet Earth. They're like the Avengers. You know, what we're going to see here in the next year with the Avengers, like you've got the Earth one, and you've got the Space one. And that's what we're going to kind of have
space one.
Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. So, I'm oversimplifying so that it applies to wrestling.
That hurts me a little bit, man. That
I don't
hurt.
Care. This is not
but
an
you know
MCU
why that
show. This is I know why it hurts. hurts. I know why it hurts. But
hey,
don't yell.
You don't have to shout. You don't have to shout at me.
I do.
Yeah.
I have to shout at some point during the show. It's a rule. Go back and read the rule.
Well, I know. You yelled at me for calling CM Punk Phil.
That one, you deserve that one.
I don't even feel bad. I still don't feel bad. It's fine.
And you shouldn't feel bad. You should not feel bad, but I should still be mad at you. Like, that's just the now everything is equal. The force is back in balance, and we're okay.
All
exactly.
Right.
And you
are we
do
done
you,
yet?
And I'll play sound bites. Maybe. But that's so I'm sticking with my bold prediction. I am going with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt as a tag team at WrestleMania 34. There we go.
Really? 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 Really?
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
Aw, thanks.
So we're
going
to shift gears a little bit, Patrick O'Dowd. We're going to go to our second topic, which is really going to be the first topic. And I know it's something that you already said we're going to talk about, so now we're going to talk about it. Because this past Monday night on Raw, we had the match that we all expected to see at some point, which was Jason Jordan having the opportunity to challenge Roman Reigns. And you kind of already went out there with the fuck that guy. So let's just dive in to your feelings towards one illegitimate son of Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan.
Fuck that guy really wasn't about Jason Jordan. I actually like, you know, we talked about the millennial like whiny thing. I like that part of it. Like I absolutely like how that worked. What was kind of fuck that guy was the writing team and how they pieced all of that together on Monday. Because Roman Reigns is carrying an open challenge on his Intercontinental title. Jason Jordan didn't need to ask anybody. Just, you know, and I know that was the point they were trying to make. We didn't need to have a confrontation where he's like, well, just take it. Don't ask your daddy. No, open challenge, you challenge.
But even though there's an open challenge, Kurt Angle still has the authority to overrule an open challenge because he's
sure, whatever.
Kurt's okay.
Yeah, but it was sort of clumsily done. I think that, you know, when I think about how this is being booked, it's not really being booked in a way that I would do it. It's not following my playlist, so to speak. Because
not on your playlist.
I really
yep.
want.
It's your turn.
Yeah, because I really want, like, if I were to book this, I would want the conflict to be because Jason Jordan is actually winning matches. He's just not beating anybody important. Like, right. But yet he keeps thinking like he's bigger stuff than what he is, but he's beating like Enzo Amore or Curt Hawkins. You know, he's beating that sort of talent. Not Enzo. He's actually doing stuff now. It's weird.
She has a title and he's probably going to start fucking Nia Jax or something. So that's
God. But anyway, but my point is that
funny. You say that. I'm kind of excited about a potential, you know, love interest or romantic storyline between Enzo Amore and Nia Jax. I think it has gold written all over it.
Oh, sure. You know, it was great when we saw it with China and, you know, and Eddie, and it was great when, recycled. But anyway, no, my complaints about that notwithstanding, you know, Jordan and Reigns put on a pretty good match to open the show.
Yes, definitely.
When it came on, I like Samoa Joe's involvement in this whole deal too. My highlight of the day today was Samoa Joe on Twitter posting a picture of a laid out Jason Jordan in the backstage with the quote, "But I don't want to go to school today, Daddy." That shit was great.
Yeah.
Like, loved that.
I honestly think this whole thing to me ends with Samoa Joe as your Intercontinental Champion. I know
absolutely.
I've been, you know, and maybe we get Balor versus Joe for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, which I would definitely be down with. But I think this thing ends with Samoa Joe as Intercontinental Champion, and I'm okay with that. I think Balor and Joe is a feud I talked about that they should be doing for the Intercontinental title. It's just not on my playlist when they're doing it, and that's fine. I can adjust my playlist.
Or how they're doing it, yeah, sure.
It is their playlist, really. So,
absolutely.
I'm okay with it. But
so, yeah.
I think that I think that people are, and I even noticed on Twitter, like people were talking about the quality of the match between Roman Reigns and Jason Jordan. They're going to come around on Jason Jordan, especially the more he heals it up. Because his sneak attack on Roman Reigns, which is funny, he talked about how he doesn't need to attack somebody from behind. Technically, he does turn Roman Reigns around before he suplexes him. And I bet he'll say that. He'll talk about that next week. But but it's definitely got some legs. And I maintain Jason Jordan's going to be a huge star. You know, not in the next 12 months, but long term for the WWE, he is going to be a big star.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real question to it. The way that I, you know, when I, you see the kid. I think the kid's got like he's just the WWE's kind of guy. I think that he is charismatic enough. You know, he's still not as strong as you might like him to be sometimes when he's on the mic and whatever. Few guys
but
are.
But he's written in a way that makes it okay. Because whining
yeah,
is
like
easy
he can
to
stumble,
do on accident.
Yeah. Well, and you can stumble over your
like
line
Bailey,
when you're whiny. Yeah.
Like Bailey, who I can't stand, comes off as whiny, even when she's not supposed to.
Yeah.
Because that's just her promo ability, and she always sounds like she's about to cry. And Jason Jordan, although when he was cutting his promo beforehand and issuing the challenge, like that was pretty strong. And probably his strongest mic work since this angle kicked off. And honestly, it was some good stuff from Roman Reigns, too. Roman Reigns has gone full John Cena on us, too, by the way. Like, he is there now. He is full John Cena. Gets booed when he comes out. After the initial pop, they counted the 1, 2, 3 for the second week in a row when he pinned somebody. I mean, Roman Reigns is there. And this whole internet hate for Roman Reigns, like, it's going to turn around sooner than later, and that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, but is it really, like... Maybe
yeah,
not this
probably
fast.
A little too fast. Yeah, probably not as fast. But everyone else
but,
is turning around on Roman Reigns sooner rather than later.
But,
as
somebody who was Team Reigns from the get-go, like, yeah, it's so interesting to watch. And that's the funny thing is because at one point on Twitter during that Reigns-Jordan match, somebody put something up there that was like a picture of the two of them. It was like Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan. Who do I boo? We don't know what to do. And we just talked about it. People like to claim that these two guys can't work, but they just put on a good match. So, you know,
right.
The narrative is conflicting. Like everything that throws up there shows that, you know, these guys have more than a thimble full of talent, to do something and to really get something with some legs. And you know, I loved that both of their promos to start that show were about, you know, you have to earn it. Well, you didn't earn it, you know, and going back and forth that way. It was just kind of a fun way to kind of start things off, and neither one of them was wrong.
Yeah, they let Jason Jordan go right into the silver platter territory with Roman Reigns. Which,
oh, yeah.
You know, the only other person who's done that is John Cena. And
yep.
And that's, you know, so they're giving Jason Jordan the material. Roman Reigns used the fucking half crab during the match. Like, I loved it. Like, you know, Jason Jordan's got the injured leg.
Storm was proud.
Roman Reigns literally worked a half crab. Not only that, but every time he walked Jason Jordan back to the middle of the ring, the crowd cheered. And they just were completely eating it up. Like, Roman Reigns is exactly who he says he is, and that's the top.
Believe that!
I think I heard you segue into certain statements that were made. I said Roman Reigns. Is that true?
I did, and I know we hadn't even talked about bringing that up on this show, but we can talk about it. We got time. About it. So Roman Reigns did go out there, and I tweeted about it, and or actually from the Chair Shot account, I tweeted about it, and then I replied to myself using my own account, because that's what we do to try to get things over. But he said he's the greatest professional wrestler in the world, and he actually said he's the best performer in the ring. And there's a lot of different things to be said about that. Number one, in my opinion, he should think that. Roman Reigns, the top dog, the big dog in the company's his yard, the last thing you need him doing is going on social media or going in an interview, in this case, and being like, no, I'm not the best wrestler in the ring. Like, well, who the fuck would say that?
Jobbers.
No one. But I bet even Curt Hawkins wouldn't say that. Because
but that's,
you're
here's the thing.
Where you
that's
are,
Kurt,
you should
that's
that.
Curt Hawkins' gimmick. Curt Hawkins' gimmick
right
now is, I love it. The man is, he has found his thing, and I love it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Big time. He tweeted a picture of him and Asuka backstage talking and said, just two good friends talking about their streaks. Like, it's
yes.
He's owning it, and he's owning it as if it was a winning streak, and that's exactly what he should do. And it'll probably give him an opportunity. Not a gender-level opportunity, but an opportunity.
I loved his Eli Manning one. That still, to me, is the best part,
yes.
The best thing I've ever seen. When he was
just
like, when one streak ends, another one continues. And, he tags the Blue Meanie and all that stuff. And it's one of the few I replied to. I was like, God bless you, sir. And then, small thrill.
Yep.
No, it's not a big deal. Blue Meanie retweeted it, plugged it. I was like, yes. That's
I saw
big
that.
Time right there. Oh, yeah.
I did see that. I saw it. I saw God bless you, sir, and loved it.
Yes.
It was fantastic. But it's very interesting. So what do you think about the Roman Reigns comment?
I don't have a problem with it. He's the top guy in this company, or a top guy in this company. He is featured prominently in every show that we watch. So certainly in the world of WWE, which is the largest wrestling company in the world, he's the top guy. He's it. And so he really is kind of the gatekeeper to everything, whether he's holding an Intercontinental title or whether he's holding a world title.
Yeah.
So.
And I heard and I saw somebody mention, like, how can you say that with, you know, Styles and Omega and Okada and whatever? And first of all, most of the people that are being listed are in the WWE. And Roman Reigns isn't out there to speak about the larger world of professional wrestling. He's there to talk about the WWE. And as talented and AJ Styles, in my opinion, is the best wrestler in the world, Roman Reigns isn't going to say that. Why the hell would Roman Reigns say that?
Yeah, not at all.
It's just, what do people expect him to say is I guess, the question that I have. Like,
people are shitting
on this comment. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. Because they the people who are shitting on this comment, and I'm so glad you brought up Okada and Omega, because let's talk about this. I don't agree with Ryback very often. But Ryback gave an interview, shocker, because he does a lot of them, where he basically says, like, nobody knows who Omega is outside of, you know, like, this certain crowd. He's right.
Oh, yeah,
he's right.
Right.
And the same thing
gross,
if
the whole Bullet Club thing, but it's more than would normally know a gaijin in Japan. But it's still a small percentage compared to a guy like Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And let's bring this even further, Greg. When I talk about people that I talk to about wrestling, when I want to get a good metric on who's actually over, what do?
You talk to people who aren't hardcore wrestling fans.
Yes. And so if I were to walk across, and there's this, you know, this woman who I work with, her name is Carol, lovely lady, watches pro wrestling, loves Roman Reigns. If I were to be like, hey, tell me what you think of Okada. Who? Who the hell are you talking? She like, when Nakamura showed up, she was like, why is this on my television?
I love it.
She was like, why? Like, what? I don't get this guy, and I don't like him. And, you know, I spent about 5 minutes talking to her about, you know, strong style and, you know, how he's big international. She's like, I don't care. Like, that's what you people are trying to talk away here. And that's why Roman Reigns should be saying that he's, you know, the top wrestler in the world. He's the best wrestler in the world. He's the best performer in the world. And, you know, he's at a point now where you have to carry that arrogance. You have to carry that, you know, confidence, if you want to look at it that way. And I'm sorry, when you watch his matches, he's not putting out bad matches.
That's
my point. And the Jason Jordan match is probably the best example of that, because, you know, when I hear that people are talking about both of them as being too green, and then you look at this match, well, if these two greenhorns are so fucking awful, how could they put together a match that was largely marred by a commercial break that broke up what was going on in the ring, so you couldn't really follow it? Like, your narrative doesn't work.
It's kind of like the whole John Cena thing. When the same person keeps having great matches with a lot of other people, eventually they're part of it. You can't discredit them for what they're doing. Are their opponents working within their style? Of course they are. That's what they're supposed to do. If AJ Styles wrestles Nakamura, he's not going to wrestle the same match he would wrestle against Roman Reigns. That's AJ Styles, the performer, working with his partner in the ring. They're dance partners. They're equal share of carrying that load. It's just like when AJ wrestled Jinder Mahal, and everyone's like, well, that was all AJ. No, it was both guys. It was equal parts, because they both got to play their part and play their role, just like AJ and Brock. I mean, Brock did better against smaller opponents. We know that's why Brock and Braun was a snore fest, because It just was, didn't really work because the two guys, it was a clash of styles that wasn't a good clash of styles the way that AJ Styles or Brock Lesnar was. But to discredit Roman Reigns for what he's doing in the ring, and no one wants to credit Jason Jordan, when it wasn't that long ago that everybody was all over Jason Jordan's nutsack because they were also all over Chad Gable's nutsack, and they wanted to keep those nutsacks together because apparently we like to see nutsacks together, which is just weird. I don't know how I got there. But it's people can love Jason Jordan and still be okay and not offend Chad Gable. Like it's like once we took him away from Chad Gable, all of a sudden we had to hate Jason Jordan, which is absolutely stupid. Before Chad Gable was ever part of the equation, people thought Jason Jordan had a good future in NXT, and and now it's all of a sudden because we fell in love with Chad Gable, we can't love Jason Jordan anymore, which is just completely asinine, in my opinion. And eventually, Jason Jordan's going to prove everybody wrong, just like John Cena, just like Roman Reigns, just like plenty of other people. There were people that didn't love Edge. Think about this. There were people who, for the longest time, didn't love when Edge and Lita were doing their thing. There were plenty of people who didn't love it. And I know you made a comment recently on social media, says, God, I miss Edge. And you know I do, too. I mean, I love me some Edge. And, Edge had to win people over.
I was watching WrestleMania 22. Made the mistake of letting the little O'Dowd watch a certain hardcore match with, between Edge and Mick Foley, where he was extremely concerned when the flaming table spot happened. And I had to, lay him down. But he was, he gets it. He was like, I like that match. It had thumbtacks. I'm like, oh boy. I don't know how to respond to
it. It's okay.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know how the 5-year old, like, I don't want to give him sharp objects anymore. Not that I was before, but like really now. It's one of those things. It takes a certain subset of fans to come around on a guy, and ebb and flow. You know, Edge from the get go, like I was kind of a nerdy dude anyway, so a vampire showing up at a Raw as kind of the initial gimmick, but just like a really cool looking vampire.
Which wasn't
really
the worked. Gimmick,
what? Was that?
That wasn't the initial gimmick, but that's okay.
Whatever.
it wasn't at all.
I always kind
of. Oh, you think you know me was the original gimmick. It wasn't until Christian and the Brood came along.
No, whatever. He kind of looked like a vampire. He looked like fucking something out of an Anne Rice novel. Even when it was You Think You Know Me. But anyway, my point was, it was a cool look. It was a lot of fun. Coming out of the crowd, doing that whole thing. People didn't buy him. I do remember like people not buying him as a legit world title guy for a long time. And then now, when he started being like being Edge, the way that people looked at him, it's fascinating because those are the same people who were kind of thumbing their nose. It's, and it happens with multiple guys. It happened with Cena. It's happened off and on with Orton. It's definitely happened. Shawn Michaels. People didn't buy into Shawn Michaels for a while, like for a long time. People were stunned. There's a reason there's a shirt out there that says, I'm Shawn, you're Marty. Because it's not for the reason that people think. Because a lot of people thought Marty was going to be the guy. Greg? Patrick?
I did. You're exactly right. I was wrong. It's funny, too, because when Edge came back and speared Eric Bischoff as part of the draft a few, many, many years ago, and people were reporting, okay, this is now Edge is going to accelerate into the world title picture. I said, nope, window of opportunity already closed. Another stupid thing said by me. Remember, I love admitting when I was wrong. I said the window of opportunity had closed and Edge would not
be a
world champion. Yeah, and yet here we are,
Edge
is a legendary Hall of Famer, one of my favorites of all time. And
his career was cut too short.
It was. Well, he would have retired a year later, according to him. But still, that's a year too short,
and a year that we would have loved
to see. But what's funny is this is again Patrick O'Dowd. This has been your week to derail the show, because
we're
talking about Edge, exactly. But we are going to transition now, so we'll play some. We'll play a transitional sound.
Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Ripping these hoes.
Greg DeMarco Show.
something else came out this week, Patrick O'Dowd, and it's really, you know, it's someone that we hear from a lot on this program because he's
shut up.
And that's, of course, Chris Jericho. And what happened was Chris Jericho had a poster that came out for his band Fozzy, and it revealed that Chris Jericho won't be anywhere near New Orleans, Louisiana on April 8th, 2018, meaning he will not be at WrestleMania because Fozzy has a show somewhere in another area of the world. So now the world, Patrick O'Dowd, has to deal with a WrestleMania sans Chris Jericho. Oh, my goodness, Patrick O'Dowd. How will we ever make it through a WrestleMania, a 6.5-hour-long wrestling show, without Chris Jericho? Is it even possible, Patrick O'Dowd? Please, save me. Save me, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, no, you're doomed, man. You're doomed. Who's gonna beat the new guy who shows up at the Royal Rumble? I can't, you know, whatever. Like, this is so dumb. You know, for a group of, and you know why, and it goes all the way back to we only want to see the guys that we love or think are deserving, because
right.
There's no outcry if, you know, Randy Orton's on tour somewhere. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, oh, good, Randy Orton won't be at WrestleMania because I think he's awful. Like, Chris Jericho doesn't, like, we don't need Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. There's plenty of people who can fill the spot that Chris Jericho would have taken from somebody else. And that's not to say that
that's
I wouldn't
really
mind
funny.
Seeing him at WrestleMania. But,
of course. We yeah. would love to see Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. Here's the best part. What is one thing that people love to complain about in the world of professional wrestling?
Well, there's a lot that you can't. That's not fair.
That's true. Okay. You're right. I didn't serve it up very well. People love to complain about the aging part timer.
Yes, absolutely.
Patrick O'Dowd, wrestling is not necessarily a young man's sport, but really you peak some in your 30s for the most part, and that's where a lot of guys are, late 20s, early to mid 30s. Chris Jericho is 47 years old. Chris Jericho does not wrestle a full-time schedule, thus he's wrestling a part-time schedule. Wouldn't Chris Jericho qualify as an aging part-timer?
Oh, absolutely. But people had so much fun with him.
That's right. So if I were to point out that Chris Jericho is an aging part-timer, you know what I hear from internet wrestling?
Shut your dumb mouth.
Because they don't want to realize and admit that Chris Jericho is the aging part-timer, because we love Chris Jericho. And I love Chris Jericho. And I think Chris Jericho is phenomenal. I'm okay with no Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. One of the best WrestleManias of all time was WrestleMania 30. It was built around – the whole thing was built around Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan had to beat Triple H to go to the main event with Randy Orton and Batista to raise both titles high with 70,000 people chanting yes. And it was an amazing moment, an amazing night. It was also a night The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar. You know, it was just a really, really good – Cesaro won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I thought he was going to be on top of the world. Greg was wrong again. Just a lot of things that happened. Chris Jericho, nowhere to be found at WrestleMania 30. And not a single person watched WrestleMania 30. And after it went off the air and they got down off their couch and stopped chanting yes and putting their fingers in the air – I not a single person said, damn, that show would have been better if Chris Jericho was on it. Like very few times do I watch a show and man, this show could really use Chris Jericho right now. And I say that more about a guy like Edge than I do Chris Jericho. So Chris Jericho's not going to be at WrestleMania? So what?
This is a non-issue. Like, it's really a non-issue.
It really is. Go ahead. Oh,
sorry. I was actually a little surprised that you had included it on the list of things to talk about, because, like, who cares? Like,
exactly. And that's why.
He's got his big Wrestle Kingdom match. That's what he's got.
We exist to make wrestling fans or to help you enjoy wrestling more. By the way, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm trying to be quick for the sake of time, but we are tracking the bold predictions, and I got to make sure that we continue to track. Chris Jericho will not appear at WrestleMania, will appear in the Royal Rumble. That's my prediction. I think that it will be a
big surprise. He'll appear in the Royal Rumble. People, there'll be rumors then that the Fozzy thing is a joke and he's not really going to be on tour. He will be on tour. He won't be at WrestleMania. Give people another reason.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So, Patrick O'Dowd, we talked about this off the air, and we're literally only going to spend 3 minutes on it, which is kind of funny. Which show right now, Raw or SmackDown, is pushing things as if they had a pay-per-view coming up in a couple weeks?
Oh, it's Monday Night Raw, easily.
Yeah, like, what the hell happened to SmackDown? I hate to say it, but again, people are going to hate this comment. The show has gone downhill since AJ Styles became WWE champion.
Yeah, and they're gonna chalk that up to your love of Jinder Mahal and not really. I love AJ Styles. Love AJ Styles. AJ Styles needs a good opponent, and right now he doesn't have a good opponent. And I said,
Jinder's not the right opponent for AJ. Yeah, you're right.
Well, and that's the point, is, you know, building this back to AJ Jinder 2, where AJ's going to retain. It's just not a good fit.
Would have been better if this were AJ Jinder 1. This would have been better.
Yeah, and Jinder on the chase is less compelling, and that's the other part of it. That's the other thing that's hurting AJ. Like, I don't want Jinder to be chasing AJ. I want Jinder to go away for a while and come back and get AJ, you know, get somebody later. Like, you know, just let him quietly have his thing with Triple H in that one-off or whatever, in a house show in India or whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think it's all AJ's fault. I think, you know, just in general, there's a couple of problems that I see. One, the women's story in SmackDown right now is the exact same as the women's story in Raw, but the women's performers are a little bit better in competing it, in the sense of the, you know, Paige and her lackeys versus Ruby Riott and her lackeys. So that doesn't work quite as well.
Paige and Ruby Riott are kind of the same, but Paige is way better at it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are entertaining, but they're kind of like, everybody's just sort of, it feels like a treading water sort of show. Which is unfortunate.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are probably going to face Orton and Nakamura at Clash of Champions. They have no one real to feud with. They should honestly feud with the New Day. That would probably be entertaining. And who knows? But yeah, it's like they come up with things and they don't really know what to do with them. And it's surprising because it really goes down to the superstar shakeup. Pre-shakeup, things were doing much, much better over on SmackDown. But honestly, with Jinder as the champion, things were better because it was all about who's going to beat Jinder. And someone beat Jinder out of nowhere. And that was a mistake, in my opinion.
Yeah.
A really, really big mistake. But it's just interesting that SmackDown is where it is. However, we're sitting at 58 minutes. That's going to bring us to the end of the show today, Patrick O'Dowd. It's crazy how fast the hour can go by. So seven more
especially
days.
When you talk about...
We'll bring it back once again.
I was just saying, especially when you talk all this much, you know, when we talk so much about Edge.
Of course. Well, how can you not talk about
Edge? Exactly.
That's it. We thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory?
Shut your dumb mouth.